Hello and welcome to Let's Talk Diz, a show that gives you everything you need to know to help make your Disney vacation as magical as can be in just about 20 minutes. I'm your host, Jeff Coviello. With me each week is Disney Master Sandy from Easy Diz by Instant Impressions Travel Services. Sandy, how you doing tonight?
I am doing great. How are you?
I'm doing great. We are here tonight to talk about, we're back on Disney Cruise Line. And 2 months ago, we did three shows previewing the Disney Wish. And tonight we're going to do another show. So I guess my question for you is, because this is something you definitely wanted to do, why do you want to do another show on the Disney Wish?
I think I will be very honest. It is a big, big ship. I had 3 nights. It was all brand new. I was running around like a chicken without a head. Maybe I shouldn't admit that. but I was trying to pack it all in, and so much to see and do. And it was what Disney calls a preview cruise. So I was actually on before the inaugural sailing. I had the opportunity to be back on. I thought it was going to be this super leisurely time because, after all, I've seen a lot of things already. I still ran around way more than I wanted and didn't get to some things. But I really have a bigger perspective on some of the things now. And this time, our ship was 70% full, and it was 95% regular guests. So it wasn't set with all the extra bells and whistles that they had for us as an earmarked agency, along with media that was sailing with us last time.
So obviously it's a very different experience, which is, I think, important when you're trying to give people the actual perspective of what's going on, because this was not a cruise, as you said, that was designed to show the folks that are selling it what the bells and whistles are. How many nights have you now been on this ship?
I've now been on 7, and I think, like you said, I paid for this cruise just like anybody else sailing would have, and I saw what you could see as a member of the public, where last time they had staterooms in every category set aside for us, rooms in the spa all set and open for us. This was a true, here I am on a ship, and let me explore, and let me vacation. But before you hit me with all your questions tonight, don't kill me. I'm going to go off topic with two things.
Okay.
It's been a big week for Disney Cruise Line. There were two major announcements, one of which is the name for the 6th ship in the fleet. The Disney Treasure will be the newest ship coming. We do not have a sail date yet. We do not have itineraries. We do not have a booking date. We just know it's coming. What I think is going to be interesting to watch over the next 6 to 18 months is the Treasure is being built as a sister ship to the Wish, the same way that the Magic and the Wonder are sister ships and the Dream and the Fantasy are sister ships.
Right.
Meaning they're the same size, the same layout, and 98% of the things are the same. There might be some different theming to a dining room, but otherwise, they all have the same features. And I think, as we talked about in the original shows, the Wish is such a different ship that I'm curious, as they get all this different feedback, whether the Treasure truly is that 95 to 98% sister ship, or if it's only a sister ship in terms of size. But we're excited about that. A lot of friends of mine, as well as myself, were guessing on the name of the next ship already. So we're keeping up with that news.
Okay. There was something else too. Yeah.
Other big bit of news is they're going to have a new temporary home port. There are going to be 2 repositioning cruises. And if you love Sea Days, these are for you. I can't imagine how incredible these have to be. They're going to go from Honolulu, Hawaii to Sydney, Australia, with stops in places like Fiji and Pago Pago, really unique things. And the nice thing with a repositioning cruise is, because of their length, these two are 13 days in one direction and 15 in the other.
Wow.
With a lot of people not being able to be gone from home for that long, they offer some phenomenal rates on these cruises. So keep that in mind. They are going to sail out of Australia late 2023, early 2024. Disney, close your ears, because I'm probably not supposed to say this. These cruises are not meant for my average American client, American listeners. These aren't for you. In my mind, they're, no pun intended, testing the waters. They're going to be all 2 and 3 night sailings. I'm not flying to Australia to do a 2 night cruise.
No.
So they're really looking, they're trying 4 different home ports in Australia and New Zealand. And I think they're looking to see what does that market hold so that we'll see some expansion there in 2024.
Okay, got it. So let's segue back to the
But you'd like me to stay on topic?
Yeah. Just because that's awesome news and I'm very excited to hear more about it. But I think we're gonna probably have to dedicate some time to that in a later show. Let's go back to the Wish. Where do you want to start now that we're doing this show? Now that you've had the experience as a traditional guest, where do you think is the most appropriate place to begin tonight?
So this is a tough one. When I am traveling and knowing that I'm going to be doing a show, I keep 2 sets of notes, 1 for my team and 1 for the show. And I'm going to tell you that honestly, my notes started with, I don't think I like it here.
Interesting. And okay.
I quickly transition to, are you out of your mind? You're on an amazing ship. You're on vacation. You're on a Disney Cruise Line vacation that you normally love. So what is it? And I realized, and this is what I think is so important for our listeners, that my perspective was wrong for this ship. I have sailed close to 30 times with Disney Cruise Line. I love the other ships, and I have said on other shows in general, I don't do change well. So if you're waiting for things just like they are on the other ships, you're going to be disappointed. It's not just like the other ship. But if you go in and realize this is new and different and amazing in its own right, you'll do great. You just need to know what you're looking at. And I think one of the things is the size of the ship. I can tell you that there are parts of the ship that I never walked past. I know for my initial cruise that the hallways where the kids club are amazing. I love the artwork there and all their murals. And I didn't see them this time because I never walked past them. The other thing that they did on this ship is they really tried to only send you where you needed to be. And I know that may sound funny, but for example, on the other ships, you would go to what I always referred to as the spa. And in that area, you would have the traditional spa, the rainforest room, where you all know you can always find me,
right.
The gym, the hair salon, and the men's barbary. Here, the spa has a separate entrance from the gym and is even on a separate floor from both the women's hair salon and the men's hair salon. So what was one large location before is now 4 separate entities on this ship.
Well, and I think like the reality is you're talking about how you don't handle change well. For folks that have never cruised before on Disney Cruise Line, these are not issues that they're running into, right? So your first time cruisers are seeing this as an incredible ship, which is what it was designed for. But for folks that are recurring cruiser, these are things that they might be seeking that they're just not going to find. Is that the message?
That is definitely the message. This ship is beautiful. It has more bells and whistles, more magic, more opportunities to just totally make you feel a part of the ship than anything else in the fleet. But if you're looking for what you had before, you've got to look for it differently. And that's why I say it's about perspective. And like we always say, it's about knowing what you're getting. If you go in knowing what areas are separate and what's together and how the dining works differently, then you're going to be great with it and have an awesome time.
The fun part about this for me is that it becomes almost like the conversations that you have with guests that are deciding which hotel to stay at. Because if there's so many different opportunities based on the ship, you now have to frame that experience differently, the way that you're constantly asking questions about, well, what's more important to you? So that's probably by design. And I think it does confuse some people that are like you, that this is the traditional vacation that they take. They know what they're getting into. But just like you and I kind of can kvetch at moments about things that Walt Disney World is changing, sometimes you have to create a different experience for folks, especially if they've never visited before.
And that's it. And let's be honest, when the fleet started and they had one or two ships, if you wanted to cruise the week your kids had spring break, you took what worked in those dates. It didn't matter whether you love the itinerary or love the ship. You knew you wanted a Disney cruise. Here's what I have to offer you. Now with five ships and the sixth and the seventh on order, I'm talking to people about spring break and I'm giving them three and four choices that all work for them. So it does become, like you said, more like picking your resort. What works for you for the ship? And are you even getting off? I never got off in 4 days.
Right. Which you do from time to time is choose to spend the time on the ship. But, you know, we had talked about the lobby when we had first done these shows. You're taking it in from a different perspective. What's your take on this one?
There is so much more to this lobby than just a lobby. And it really took this cruise for me to see it. All of their ships have this grand hall concept. But they made this one larger and designed better to be a stage, to be an area where people can flow through more freely. And there is regular activity in the lobby. There's great things. When you first board, you can get a wishing star similar to the one that you might get if you eat at Cinderella's Royal Table. And you can use that wishing star on their chandelier and bring it back multiple times during the cruise for activities that are happening in the Grand Hall.
And it's always just one of those great things. You know, we've talked to cast members that announce you as you walk into the lobby as you're boarding. So like the very first thing that you see when you walk on the ship, it leaves a lasting memory. So it's a good thing to be memorable. You know, you want to make sure that there's an identity to that lobby, which it sounds like there is.
There definitely is. And again, one of the highlights for many to the lobby is the secondary entrance to the kids club,
right,
where they literally go down that slide from the third floor to the second floor,
which everybody's trying to imagine here to figure out how they can figure that out in their own living rooms or in their going from their kitchen to their basement.
I will give you a tip on that. When there is open time in the club, adults can slide down from the lobby as well.
Oh, there you go.
So you don't have to miss out on the action.
All right. Dining is always a huge thing, especially on the ships. Let's take dining from a different angle tonight.
This is one of the parts that really got me for a couple of reasons. So we know from anybody who's been on the ship or even just listened to our show how big a part dining plays in this experience on the cruise ship,
right,
as always in Disney.
Yep.
And you have that rotational dining where you start in one dining room that you're assigned to and you'll move the second night to the next one and so on, and your table mates and servers move with you. One of the things is that is only a dinner assignment. Breakfast and lunch, they've always had the buffet area open and one or two different restaurants open each day. You would check your navigator and you could go where you want to go. For me, I sometimes chose to do sit-down dining because I loved the restaurant. While it didn't have the full show to it, I love the look of Animator's Palette. I love the mosaic in some of the princess-themed restaurants. And so I would pick a sit-down breakfast or lunch just to be back in those restaurants.
Right.
On this ship, only 1923 opens for breakfast or lunch. They don't rotate those restaurants. So that was a big thing for me as far as change. And it doesn't really impact the menu, and I know it probably sounds silly, but if you wanted that opportunity to explore some of these restaurants more in depth because they are definite Imagineer heavens, that opportunity does not exist.
Do we think that's because of the sheer size of the ship that they're doing that? What, like, do you have an idea of it, a rationale?
I think, and again, this is totally my guessing here.
Yeah, speculation on our part, right.
1923 is centrally located.
Okay.
The other two restaurants on the ship are the Avengers and the Arendelle, so they are so heavily themed.
Right.
And there are different parts that are so integral to the show that I'm not sure they want people in there.
Sure.
The other thing is 1923 is really unique, and this is kind of a behind the scenes thing that not everybody would necessarily notice. But there is a Walt side and a Roy side to the restaurant.
Okay.
It literally has two entrances and it has two kitchens. So what it allows them to do, if they know what percentage of diners typically opt for that sit-down dining, it allows them to conserve on space and resources.
Okay. What about for dinner? Like, I know that we had talked about something that you were missing for the dinner option.
The buffet option on this ship, Marcellines, on all the other ships known as cabanas, is not open for dinner. Now, that doesn't mean if you don't want your rotational dining, you're going to starve. There's plenty of options, everything from room service to so many choices on the pool deck. But it just surprised me not to have that option.
Okay. Anything else for dining?
I miss some of the things on the pool deck. And again, I don't do change. So we still have the all-important soft serve ice cream. We've got pizza. You've got the fry station where you can get chicken nuggets and hamburgers and things. On this ship, they added two things. You've got that grill that we talked about where you can get brisket and things like that, as well as the taco station. But what I found was missing is the place where I always went and got my paninis and my salads.
So just be aware that they're obviously, it's like everything else. You just take a look at a map, talk to a travel specialist, and figure out what is actually there on the pool deck.
Exactly. It's all about being prepared and not expecting what you've always had.
We had talked about the lounges, and I know that the Hyperspace Lounge is certainly on everybody's brain, just having seen what goes on there. Any other perspective on the lounges?
The Hyperspace Lounge initially required a reservation, which you couldn't make until you were on board.
Right.
It is no longer by reservation. It is first come, first serve, and they do ask you limit your time there to 45 minutes. But what I found the one great thing to be is they're now opening it midday just for you to come in and look around.
Okay,
so cool. If you don't need to have that drink, I actually got better pictures and enjoyed my time in there more from 12 to 12:20 when I was literally the only person in there than when I went at night and there were a lot of people in there. The other thing that we had talked about in our last show is, again, the number of lounges here is pretty large. I don't think they have more space than they have on any of the other ships, but they're not all together.
Okay.
And for me, I would go to one for the entertainment, and then I might hear entertainment in another, and I'd kind of float through all of them and see what was happening in all of them.
Sure.
Because they're not all together, I will be honest, there's still two lounges that I did nothing but pass through the door during the day when they weren't really open.
Right.
Because I wasn't taking the elevator or the stairs to another deck just to go someplace else. It's more of a conscious effort to see more things is required here.
Okay. Listen, I hate this piece, but I think we need to talk about it. Talk to me about the app.
It is a major part of the trip. The app is everything from starting at home with your online check-in to one of the things that I love, and this is on all of the ships now, instead of that lifeboat drill where everybody gathers at the same time and, you know, they check everybody in and you might feel like a sardine, you go to the lifeboat drill on your own sometime between 12 and 3 typically. And using the app, you check yourself in. You actually have to take a photo of your lifeboat station so they know everybody is accounted for, but it makes it nice and easy. Also, this ship has the upgraded Wi-Fi. So if you're using the app, you can chat with anybody in your room. You can actually text with anybody free of charge. But the app is also where you're going to do some additional signups. I did the tour of the Wish And I have to give a huge shout out to Daryl, the cast member that took us on tour. He's been with Disney 10 years now, and his love of Disney Cruise Line and of this ship in particular was awesome. And I definitely related to him because you all hear it in me in the shows. As he was giving the tour, he would say, and here we did this and we did that. And then he'd go, you know, I really wasn't part of that team, but it's kind of my ship. So I say we.
Right.
He has that pride that we have. He was phenomenal. I definitely recommend that tour. You'll get some great insider tips. It is an opportunity to see some of the restaurants that I was talking about before for an extra time. And unlike the way that they used to do these tours, I am super thankful that they have invested in those whisper units. So everybody gets an earpiece and you can hear, even if you're not right next to him. It's also the spot where you can sign up for things like the Princess Greet, if you didn't get it in advance, as well as extra spa appointments, alcohol tastings, and any other functions. So you can be very self-sufficient instead of constantly going to a desk and getting online for help. So that's the bonus to the app.
Obviously, these ships are known for their deck parties and their pools. 30 seconds, give me what we haven't necessarily gone over so far.
The deck is laid out very differently. And for the deck parties, it's awesome because there's three different tiers that you can watch from. So you can get a great view, but you also can go somewhere if you're a little on the claustrophobic side and get that view without being right in the major crowd. The pools, there are so many of them. I highly encourage you to explore. There are, depending how you count them, 8 different water features on this ship, not including the concierge areas. Pro tip, head to the Chippendale area. I loved that section and it was always super quiet. I think people just didn't find it and didn't know about it.
And a lot of that stuff depends upon your traveling party too. So just make sure you touch base with the travel specialist to figure out where the best spot is to go for your particular group. Stuff's obviously changing, right? You caught this early in their run. You were on the one before it opened and this one was early. What's coming soon? What has not yet launched?
Next week, so clearly my timing was off.
Right.
Disney's Uncharted Adventure is coming. And that is the Wishes version of the Midship Detective Agency, but kind of upping their game a little bit. So just like some of the games that we have in Magic Kingdom and other places, it's a digital game throughout the ship. You will actually, again, go back to that app. You're going to play it on your app. You're going to open the spyglass and be able to go through and work with pictures that are on the ship that are changing and will do magical things when you are in front of them and press the button in your app. And unlike the Midship Detective Agency, this one, again, literally up their game. The last day you'll meet in Luna Lounge to face off against your villain on the giant screen.
We're coming to the end of the show. I know it's a little bit longer because we just can't keep these cruise line shows brief. What haven't we covered that we think people need to know?
3 and 4 days is tough on this ship. You're not going to see it all, but keep your eyes open. Look for the details. The details on this ship are incredible. Regular pictures with motion in them. Extra efforts on chandeliers to represent characters and different things. Even in the main lobby, the statue of Cinderella. Walk around back of the statue and see that hiding under her dress, you can see Jacques and Gus Gus. All those little details that Imagineers put all over the ship.
Well, and you know those are things that you and I just eat up too. We can't get off of them.
The other big thing that I'm hearing on this ship is about the themes in the rooms. There are definitely themes. There's Moana, there's Ariel, there's Little Mermaid. There's so many themes. But I want to caution people because I have some clients very upset that we can't get them into the exact theme that they want.
Sure.
Not every category offers every theme. In fact, no category offers every theme. The theme is only 2 pictures in your stateroom. That is the extent of the difference. So it's not like the fixtures are different and all of these pieces. It's a great touch, but don't make it be the be all and end all of your vacation. And the last thing that I'm going to say is things happen. Just like stuff happens everywhere, as somebody who cruised twice, I can tell you that there was a technical issue in our dinner show in Arendelle. If you hadn't seen it already, you wouldn't know it because they covered it very well. Unfortunately, there were also technical issues during two of our shows in the theater. We've talked about my love of that theater and my love of Broadway. What they do on that ship astounds me. The scenery is incredible. They work with two different large screens and all kinds of pieces. But the other thing that they work with that really helps make the show is just like a Broadway stage, their stage has openings and lifts so that they can open a part of the stage and raise a prop and then lower it and bring up different props. Mm-hmm. It malfunctioned while we were there. They had to stop the show once they were able to restart it, once they weren't. In true Disney fashion, though, that entertainment team is phenomenal. They came into the theater and did a dance party while we waited for the technical people to work it out. So just know whatever happens, you're on vacation. It doesn't get better than that.
Well, thank you for taking the time to take this trip as we say, the common folk, the regular traveler, because I think that it frames it a little bit differently. I know that you do that constantly just to give people a different perspective. And thanks for sharing it with us tonight. Have a great week.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And that's a wrap this week on Let's Talk Diz. If anyone you know could benefit from this or any show, please share, have them like, and subscribe. And don't forget to reach out to the folks at Easy Diz by Instant Impressions Travel Services for any Disney destination planning. Make it a great week. And as always, keep making memories.